My name is Richie Mehta. I'm the director of UML. You're right now tuned in to After the Credits.
Welcome to another episode of After the Credits. I am your host, Marina, and joining me today, as always,
Colleen, 353 Review,
Dale, DigitalDiddles.com.
How are you guys doing today on this Remembrance Day, or for our American friends, Veterans Day?
Adequate.
Just fine.
Just fine. Any special plans?
Cemetery. Going to Remembrance Day ceremonies like every year.
And it's probably going to rain as usual. That's the only reason I never make it out. I usually watch it on TV.
I used to go to it when I was in Brownies kind of thing. In the actual parade, the scouts and guides all walked the route kind of thing in front of the veterans and all that. And I've gone ever since. I think I missed once. And even then, I was trying. I was heading towards a Legion Hall at least. Didn't quite make it. So I had to stop at the side of the road and listen to the feed on CK and Dub.
Yeah, well, before we get started and into today's topic, just a couple of quick reminders. Be sure to come on by Row 3 to check all your movie news and reviews, and to check our show notes, because we're going to have a couple of titles that we're going to link to, and maybe some clips if I can find some. Also a reminder that the Movie Club podcast is up. The shows for this episode are, the movies for this episode, I should say, are Soylent Green and The Insider. And they have picked the movies for next time, and it's Night of the Creeps and Gremlins 2. So that's it for house cleaning, I think. Let's get right into, we were trying to figure out a good way to sort of talk about Remembrance Day and sort of remember, you know, what has come in the past. And we couldn't really come to a consensus as to how we wanted to deal with this. So I think we basically just decided to talk about a few movies that, you know, we would recommend seeing as sort of a way to remember the past. Correct?
Okay.
We were a little bit more ambivalent than that, weren't we?
Yeah, a little bit.
Basically, the key,
many a sudry sort of tangent happened.
The key problem is movies. You know, movies are stories mostly to entertain us, and they're about people. They're just about always about people, not about the events. Big events, or they become documentaries, and people, until fairly recently, didn't really do the documentary thing. So in terms of a Remembrance Day kind of context or Veterans Day, it's hard to come up with movies that really truly inform you on the event and put you into that kind of frame of mind to honor the people that were involved with that. Mm-hmm. And I think actually there's a lot of TV programs I think that have done a lot better than the movies. But nonetheless, we actually came up with kind of an interesting set of movies that won't be very, Remembrance Day-y kind of thing. But
but they are essentially, you know, war movies. And for me, this is an interesting list because I don't consider myself a fan of war films. So my list is mostly very recent stuff because I haven't seen a lot of the classics.
And for me, most of my picks, not about the actual war itself. I have this fascination with POW camps and things like that, like what happens after you've been captured.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So our lists are very varied. Probably a pick for everyone. we'll jump right in. I don't think any of our lists are in any sort of order, right? They're just sort of movies that, you know, we would recommend to watch today. Who wants to go first?
I do. Oh. I insist upon it.
Okay, then why don't you jump right in?
Okay, the first one's probably the most obscure for myself. It's a British rah-rah sort of gathering support for the troops film called In Which We Serve. And essentially, a boat is sank and the survivors in the water kind of thing, they're flashing back to their lives kind of thing and why they joined up, like the reasoning behind it and all the backstory kind of thing while waiting to be either rescued or die. And I really liked it. So that's my first one.
I have never seen that one.
No, neither have I. Oh. I have a feeling I probably won't have seen a lot on your list.
The only reason I've seen it was because David Lean was the director of it. And I, of course, love David Lean. And I think it was actually Noel Coward sort of co-production with David Lean too. So
excellent. I'll throw one out. This one totally does not fit. Mars Attacks. My reasoning for having it, it's humanity against aliens. It's a war movie.
You don't need a reason for Mars Attacks. It's just kick ass.
I agree. I concur with that thought.
As we both turn and look at Dale.
Well, yeah, if we're gonna do like Mars Attacks and that kind of thing, then
that's the only odd one on my list, I promise.
I would throw in Fifth Element and Independent Day.
Yeah.
Or Independence Day.
That'll make Andrew happy.
But you know,
I want to fly a crop duster into that brings an alien
up,
ship.
But I think that brings up, you know, the opening point and one of the things we struggled with, which is the war is secondary in the movies that are the good stories. You know, it's a story about people, and you do it in the context of war. It could be some other great, huge background, like, you know, a natural disaster or a plane crash or something like that. There's, I think, very few films that actually transcend to actually combine together those elements of, the experience of war in some context and a good story. Yeah. But that leads me to actually my first pick. I would encourage anybody who can, which is right now just Canadians, to go out and see Passchendaele, which I think they're mismarketing because it, to me, it isn't as much a war film as it is a film about love and sacrifice. So again, it's still about the story, but it is in the context of the war and the war, World War One. Really, the way that Paul Gross did it, it really does heighten the story because you do have this phenomenally ugly thing going on, and he makes some decisions in light of this ugly thing that's going on, and because it is ugly and it is real, it makes the decisions all that more important.
Yeah.
And it also involves a lot of the home front, which is kind of forgotten in the war sometimes, although you know, they do have it better than the people that are actually getting shot on the front lines, but you know, there are sacrifices going on there too. So definitely, you know, go out and see Passchendaele if you haven't. It's not a super fantastico blockbuster great movie, but it's still a really good movie.
Excellent. Back to you, Colleen.
All right. Since the last one was David Lean, I'll carry on. one of my favorite films of all time, The Bridge Over the River Kwai. Japanese concentration sort of work camp. And I love this film because the whole, no matter how bad mistreated, they still got what needed done. Just triumph over stupidity and shit. Probably my favorite part of it, though, is at the very end when Alec Guinness finally clues into what exactly is going on and realize he might have screwed up everything. The expression on his face is awesome. It's one of my favorite scenes of all time.
Well, and of course, the whistling, right?
Yeah.
It's like, that is a great film in terms of the whole psychology of people, right? Like, even in that ugly situation, he's still struggling to be useful and to accomplish something.
Yeah, the Geneva Convention will be going by it, whether you like it or not, kind of thing. Like, plus, again, David Lean took probably one of the most blandest palettes. Like, this is all dirt brown, dark green. Like, there's nothing vivid there at all. And made it into a glorious, beautiful film.
Yeah. His trademark, right?
Yeah. Glorious. That man knows how to shoot a scene.
I think my favorite movie about soldiers and soldiering is Black Hawk Down.
Mm.
And
yeah.
At first, I actually thought it was more fiction than not. But it's only on the special edition, I think, not on the regular one. But there's a really great commentary by the author, Mark Bowden, and the guy that did this, adopted the script, and I've forgotten his name. And I've read the book Black Hawk Down too. And they also have a commentary by the soldiers that were in the actual battle, and they're telling you, you know, like, that character's a composite of me and, Ken Nolan did the screenplay, me and somebody else. And, they're talking about the events, and it's amazing actually how much of that really is real. And the big thing there was how the soldiers were fighting for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And you do get a real sense of, man, we're in the shit now. Yeah. And we're just trying to survive here. And I thought it was a great movie.
It's one that I actually purchased it on your recommendation. I saw it somewhere for really inexpensive, and it's the extended edition or something. And I still haven't seen it. It's really quite sad.
You know, the funny thing is there's so much going on that the first time I saw it, I was actually lost.
Oh, okay.
It's hard to have a sense of place in there, although you still get that sense of tension, and you still get the people playing out the roles. It was only kind of the second or third time through that I got a sense of the overall battle. So.
Oh, okay, so maybe worth seeing more than once.
Yeah.
Yeah. One that I put on my list is a fairly recent film. It's only from a few years ago, I think, and it's Jarhead. And I actually read the book at some point before the movie came out, and I wasn't quite sure how they were going to translate that into a film, because it's pretty much just like the internal struggles of the soldier and waiting for a war that never actually comes. And the film, I thought, captured that very well. You know, you sort of see it's like an aimless waiting, and just waiting and waiting for something to happen. And, you know, the war basically comes and goes, and nothing happens to these soldiers. And I think the closing, the scenes towards the end when, you know, they call a ceasefire, and you're sort of, it's like the only time you see a gunshot go off. And there's, I don't know, there was sort of like this cathartic moment for me, like, so this is what war is like at some points. And it kind of makes you wonder why anyone would, well, for me, I don't know really how to say this, but it kind of made me wonder, like, why people would find, like, you go out there thinking, okay, well, I might die. And then you go through this entire time of waiting and nothing happens. Like, how do you deal with that at the end? Because mentally, that's still some sort of a break, right? I mean, you must be traumatized. You're sitting in the middle of the desert for months and suffering and walking around. I mean, in this case, it was during the first Gulf War. And I mean, there's nothing out there. It's just desert and oil. And it sort of, for one, it was a really interesting look at, you know, that time. I mean, I was really young when that war happened to begin with. And looking back on it with the perspective of the current war, sort of, I don't know, it brought a couple of things up that I thought, and I think it's a really great film, too. It's actually really well put together.
So. Well, that film really polarized people, if I remember. Like, there were a lot of people that just hated it.
Mm.
Or, I mean, hated it in the sense that they found it totally uninteresting, but there was a lot of people that really liked it as well.
And I guess maybe because it's an uncommon war film in that nothing really happens, right? I mean, there isn't a whole lot of tension. There are a couple of scenes where there's a little bit, but for the most part, it's just a lot of waiting.
Yeah, and that's the problem with calling something a war film.
Mm-hmm.
People expect fighting and battles and excitement.
Yeah, and this is totally not that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's about the soldiers and the conflict, but you never see anything really happen.
You're right about how it would play mind games with you. My grandfather had quite a bit of really strange, in my mind, misplaced guilt because he signed up almost right away. And he went to, I think it was Alberta or something, to get trained as a navigator. Mm-hmm. But he worked at a metal foundry, and he didn't have any fingerprints. They were burnt off his hand from dealing with
wow.
it. So they went, okay, well, you can't go because we can't positively ID you or whatever kind of thing. So we'll train you up as a trainer kind of thing until your prints come out and we can send you over. And by the time they came out, he was so valuable as a trainer for navigators, they wouldn't let him go. And so he sent countless people over and over again, basically to England, and they didn't come back.
Oh, wow.
And like amazing amount of guilt he has because he was one of the first ones to sign up to go, and he never got to leave Alberta.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's weird how war affects you in weird ways.
Yeah, actually, and when you were talking about that, I immediately thought of, I think it was called The Big Red One, but it was a war movie with Mark Hamill.
Oh, okay.
That came out somewhat after Star Wars, and it explored. It's come out in a number of different war movies, but this one was really. I remember sequences in there where, you didn't become friends with somebody until they'd been through X number of battles because the chances were pretty good that they were going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And they explored that too, actually, in the miniseries that Band of Brothers.
Oh, okay.
As well, I mean, with the replacements that came in, it was just a fact of life. It's like you didn't invest any emotion in the guy next to you till they became competent enough not to get killed.
Well, what a thought.
Yeah, it's pretty grim, but it's that reality of trying to stay emotionally sane in that crazy situation.
Yeah. I don't know who's going to go next.
I'll go next.
Okay.
One of the better World War II movies, actually, that came out fairly recently was Letters from Iwo Jima.
Mm.
I really enjoyed that. And that was from the Japanese perspective. But I thought it did a really good job of portraying that side of the war. The kind of bookend movie to that was Flags of Our Fathers, which actually wasn't as good and was less about the fighting in the war than other things, but I think still worth seeing. But no, that I thought was an interesting perspective that still kind of honored all the warriors involved.
Yeah, and I only saw Letters from Iwo Jima. I wrote it on my list and I've now scratched it off because I thought of something else that I really like that I'd like to mention. But I never got around to seeing Flags of Our Fathers. It's still on my list of movies to see, but I haven't gotten to it yet. But Letters from Iwo Jima was really powerful for me. I guess I don't watch a lot of war films, right? And it's hard to get a perspective of what happens on the other side, especially with my limited viewing as well. So it was interesting to get sort of a view of, you know, what could possibly be happening on the other end. And I mean, I'm not sure how accurate it is. I'm assuming that Eastwood did a lot of research to make it as accurate as he could. And I thought it was a really interesting look at, you know, how different cultures handle the battle. Because, I mean, it was fairly different. There was some overlap, I mean, of things that you would expect. But there were a few things that, like the whole idea of honor and, I don't know, there was a really different sensibility there. And I thought Eastwood captured it really, really well. And it was a powerful film.
It was. And I mean, there again, you know, that the underlying story, or theme, I guess, wasn't so much about the war as honor and mm-hmm. how do you earn honor. They had that contrast of the people there, the leaders that really didn't deserve the respect of the people they were leading versus the one that did.
Yeah, and that brings up that whole dynamic of, you know, the people that sort of are pushing the buttons and the people that are actually on the field and
yeah.
know the soldiers and are in the moment and have to make those split-second decisions.
Yeah.
And I thought it captured that really, really well as well.
So. I'm trying to think of a good, and I'm sure I'm missing something and I'll kick myself, but of a really good like Allies side World War II film that really is an equivalent of Flags of Iwo Jima. And the one that tried and I think actually failed in my book was the Spielberg movie, which I can't even remember the name, Saving Private Ryan. The battle sequences in there were spectacular. I mean, the first 20 minutes of that movie were amazing, but for what he was trying to achieve with the story, it really fell flat for me.
Yeah, and I don't think I've ever seen that whole film all the way through. I've seen the first 20 minutes countless times, but never been pulled in enough to sit through the rest of it.
Yeah, it was okay in general. Like you say, the first 20 minutes or so is just freaking awesome, but I don't know. Didn't do much for me.
Yeah. Colleen, back over to you.
All right. Bit of a classic that's been on television a kabillion times.
You've got a lot of classics.
I know. The Great Escape.
Oh, this is what I have seen.
Yeah.
There's nothing about this film I don't like. I used to watch this all the time when I was a kid on television.
Yeah, me too. And yeah.
Every time I see it on any channel, I instantly have to stop no matter what point it is and watch the whole thing. Like, not everything else ceases to happen because I need to watch the rest of The Great Escape.
And do you know that was based on a true story, too?
Yes.
I don't think it was very true to the true story, but it was based on a true story.
From what I've read kind of thing, yeah, it's very loosely based. Well, the stuff that was maybe happening to basically escape wasn't necessarily as far off, but like the whole when they left the compound, that was very much not what was happening.
The Steve McQueen character in there was actually, there were a lot of great characters in there, but I mean, the Steve McQueen going into the cooler with the baseball is just such a classic.
Charles Bronson with the cave-in freaking out.
Yeah. You're claustrophobic?
Yeah. I mean, you're a minor and you're claustrophobic. Okay.
Yeah, that's a great film. Great, great choice. I'll go with another one that's sort of more about after the war, but it sort of came to me as I was talking about Jarhead, and I can't believe I didn't think of it earlier. And that's Three Kings.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a fantastic film.
Well, actually, you know, it's funny you should mention that, because I have a kind of Three Kings, would you call it an anti-war or a war? Or kind of a...
I don't even know if it's really about the war at all.
Isn't it about getting gold?
It is, but... Okay...
It's about stealing Saddam Hussein's gold.
The World War II equivalent of Three Kings is called Kelly's Heroes with Clint Eastwood.
Yeah. Donald Sutherland.
Donald Sutherland is excellent in there. Oh, yeah. No, this is a great story. It's an anti-war.
Pirate Tank King.
Basically, yeah. Clint Eastwood plays a character that... is not too enamored of where he is, and he overhears about some gold behind enemy lines, and it's a caper movie, really. It puts together a crew of people to go in and steal this Nazi gold.
Sounds very familiar.
And in the process, I mean, it goes to a lot of the darker side of human nature, especially in times of war.
Cool. No, I've never even heard that.
Oh, it's hilarious with...
Donald Sutherland's the best thing about that film in my mind.
He's the better part of a lot of movies.
Who was the comedian playing... Is it Don Rickles?
Oh, shit.
I think it's Don Rickles. I'll look it up. But there's a lot of great characters in there. This guy is just completely a hustler and... And his character was hilarious, wheeling and dealing to get across. And it escalates kind of out of control, of course. And the ending, I mean, the ending is just so classic. It's not, I don't want to spoil it now, even though it's an old movie, it's people that have seen it. But yeah, it's the ending when they're facing down the German tank is just hilarious.
I'm going home and putting this on my zip list because I haven't seen it in years and I've written it down.
I'm definitely
much like Three Kings, because Three Kings, right, was that caper kind of thing where they're
trying to steal Saddam's gold.
I think actually the endings, they definitely end differently. But
yeah, but no, I can't believe it didn't come to mind to begin with. But yeah, it's one I highly recommend, and it's a great film. Great, great film. So yeah, Three Kings.
Nice.
And there was one documentary we talked about that we really have to mention. We talked about it before.
Yeah, and I think we should mention it's on my list, so go for it.
Rape of Europa.
Brilliant.
I still haven't seen
Brilliant.
It. It's out on DVD.
It's out on DVD, so one that we highly recommend checking out. And it's a documentary about the Monument Men of sort of everything, actually.
No, it was about how the Nazis stole and destroyed
art
and culture in Europe, and how the Allies dealt with that.
Yeah, the one thing that always sticks to mind from that documentary is the Monument Men.
Yeah, who I'd never heard of. I'm still amazed at just some of the stories, like when they were talking about how they cataloged mm-hmm. all the thefts before they started their war thing. Like, they had a definite plan, and how they wanted to wipe out the stuff they thought was inferior, and how after they had, you know, it was clear they were losing the war, there were rail cars of precious art that people were looting, not for the art, but for the food.
Yeah, it's amazing. I actually, now that you bring it up, it's one I'm going to have to track down on DVD to actually own, because I'm sure that I hope that there's a bunch of extras on there, because I would love to sit down with that and just like delve in for hours. So, Rape of Europa, one to search out. It's definitely out on DVD. Colleen.
Sweet. The last one I'm going to recommend is a little film. It might be a little hard to track down, but worth the effort, called Counterfeiters.
Ah, yes.
From the Film Fest in 2007 here. And
Oscar winner.
It's about Operation Bernhard, where the Nazis basically took anyone who was involved with die cutting, printing, paper making, ink making,
counterfeiting,
essentially to make fake American and British bills to basically destroy their economies and stop the war machine. And this is just such a good little film kind of thing. And it's, again, for me, the theme of what it takes to survive in that environment. Like, they're helping the Nazis win the war, but it's the only way they can survive by doing it. So, like, that sort of whole tugging sort of thing, like, you do what you need to survive to get out there. And I love that film.
Well, and there was some wonderful contrast, too, because there was definitely a couple of the characters in there with their kind of different approaches, and the main character very much like, no, we're not going to overtly trying to throw a monkey in the wrench, and some of the other people that were like, no, we have to screw
we're
them
expendable.
Over now.
Yeah. We're expendable. Yeah. We make ourselves valuable. We do not make ourselves expendable.
And the movie didn't leave you, like, the movie didn't actually try and lead you to deciding which one was right and wrong. It was, I thought, fairly neutral on which one was better or worse, or, you know, maybe neither were better or worse.
Mm-hmm.
I still think about that, actually. I haven't, you know, I saw that and it was like, wow, yeah, like, God, what would I do in that situation?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. That's the whole thing about sort of POW, sort of concentration camp films for me, is what would I do? Like, I sort of have this weird sort of, is it empathy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I sort of put myself in that situation and like, what would I do to survive? And I've always loved films like concentration POW camp ones, because I find them endlessly fascinating, because it's a part of human nature that you don't necessarily get to explore very much. Survival at what cost?
Yeah,
and that's why the war movie as a genre is so attractive, because it is an extreme situation that you put someone in that people have an understanding of. Unlike some of the sci-fi stuff, right? Like, when you look at putting people in, you know, an extreme thing in a sci-fi situation, you always have the people that don't get it. But I think war movies.
Well, not only that, like, you have the zombies attacking you. What do you do to survive? Yeah. You're fighting against something that hasn't happened yet.
I'm finding a slow runner.
Yes. Always find the slowest runner and become their friend. This is a good policy for when World War Z starts. But science fiction kind of thing. Usually it's something that is a not realistic kind of thing that you're fighting against. Whereas war, humans are real nasty motherfuckers.
Oh, yeah.
The
point I'm trying to make actually is that science fiction is clearly not real. War movies are not real, but not always obviously not real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can play with it and you still get that ambiguity.
My last recommendation, at least from my point, there's a bunch more, but I'll stick to one I like, Born on the 4th of July. It's more about dealing with the war after the fact than with the war itself, but probably one of Oliver Stone's best and probably one of Tom Cruise's best roles ever. And he's never going to get that Oscar. He's going to try with Valkyrie, but I don't know, man. So, yeah, that's my pick. I don't really have anything else to say about it.
I haven't seen that one, actually, yeah.
I've seen it. I mean, it plays usually around this time of year on TV, and I haven't seen it in a few years, but it's one that I remember really, really enjoying. And I mean enjoying. I mean, it's entertaining, too, even though it has some other intrinsic values, but it's one I would recommend.
Cool. I don't have a recommendation, but I have a request. If anyone knows of a film that is about the story of Billy Bishop, could you like drop an email or something? Because I swear I've seen a film about Billy Bishop and it's killing me because I can't figure out what the hell it was. And for those that don't know who Billy Bishop was, it was the British Empire's top ace pilot from World War One, who just happened to be a farmer from New Brunswick or something like that. Like
Canadian
just,
boy.
Just a normal average boy that became basically a killing machine in the air.
Yeah. So is that all for our recommendations? Anybody else have anything else to add? We've given out a lot of names.
We've given out a lot of movies.
That's a lot to pick from, but some recommendations there for a way to spend your day.
Go to Remembrance Day ceremonies.
Yeah, and at the very least, you know, take a moment out of your day, give it a moment of silence. Just remember the people that have fought for, you know, our values and freedoms and everything else. You know, take a moment and just remember them. And it's also a good time to sort of remember the atrocities that have happened and make sure that they don't happen again. So that was our somber show. Not all that somber.
No, it wasn't that somber. I'm feeling a little guilty, actually, because not very remembrancey day.
No, but yeah, you know, it doesn't have to be depressing. It's just, you know, that's exactly it.
Like, if you go to Remembrance Day ceremonies, I always looked at it as a bit of a celebration of those that came back and a remembrance of those that didn't kind of thing. You shouldn't be all depressed and all that kind of thing. I don't think, like, it's easy from being so far away from war kind of thing to maybe make light of it a bit, but
yeah,
I don't know. I don't think you necessarily have to be in mourning either.
Well, I always, the kind of like, hope I'm not sounding like a broken record here, but why I get back to separating war stories from more of a documentary kind of thing, because I really, in my mind, when I'm watching a war movie, and I really enjoy war movies, I even like watching some of the cheesy propaganda stuff with like John Wayne and that. But I'm very conscious that that is not reality. You know, it's like watching, that's why, you know, throwing Independence Day in with some of these other, you know, war propaganda movies, they're very similar in a lot of ways. But it's different than the real thing. It's different than a documentary, and to me, it's a bit somber. I mean, this year, especially, you were talking about, you know, Born on the 4th of July. This messed and continues to mess up a lot of people. I mean, we are talking seriously.
Yeah,
a sacrifice here. And
oh yeah,
like you say, a moment of silence just to think about it a little bit is not out of line.
No, it's the least we can do. You know,
my great uncle. I was telling this earlier, I knew he was in the war and he got shot down and he got put into a normal concentration camp. And this was about a year and a half. He managed to survive until he was liberated. He came back a skeleton and I didn't realize it. Like you hear family stories kind of thing, but at his funeral, they actually had the one picture they had of him when he was liberated and he was a walking fucking skeleton. I cannot, to this day, I'm creeped out just thinking about that because it hit home. Like, you see the pictures and you think, good God, that's horrid kind of thing. Then when you know someone who, that's Uncle Rex, good God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, just take a moment and remember those that came before and those that are still out there fighting for us. So that's it for today. Be sure to come on by row three. Leave some comments. Let us know about if you know this film.
Billy Bishop.
Let us know. I'm actually kind of curious to see and hear what other people are watching or the way that they're remembering. And if you have a recommendation that we've missed, there's, I'm sure, thousands because the list is huge. We brainstormed a whole lot.
Definitely drop by your movies, but also talk about why.
Yeah, exactly. We want to know why they're important to you.
I would be curious.
Yeah, ditto. So yeah, come on by. Make sure to stop on by 353 Haiku Movie Review. Stop on by digitaldoodles.com. And until next time.
We'll see you after the credits.